Amen. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And one of the things I'd like to do this year is at the beginning of every sermon, what I'd like to do is something that's good, I guess good medicine for the soul, is a joke. So what I'd like you to do is if you feel you got some good sense of humor and you got a funny joke, I want you to be able to email it to me, and I will read it, because it's, you know, Bible does teach about laughter is good medicine for the soul. And so I'll read it before I preach. As we go on, please email it to me, and I will keep it anonymous unless it's you really want me to let people know it's from you. But I thought I'd keep it anonymous just in case I read it. Not too many laughs, not too many jokes. Someone's wondering, Howard, who submitted that joke to you? Then I could say, you know what, I decided I'm not going to share who it belongs to. So you can submit that to me, but it is always good medicine for the soul. Romans chapter 12, if you turn there with me. And I do, I think we welcomed them before, is I know the Richards family. I've moved here to Ottawa. They're all settled. I know Richard's there. His wife, I think, is Kingdom Kids or somewhere. But great. But it's great to have them with us. And please, if you haven't already, continue to reach out to them. You know, moving to a new city has its challenges. You kind of miss. You're excited about the new chapter, but also as well, you kind of miss the relationships you've left as well. But either way, we're definitely glad to have you guys with us, part of the Ottawa Church of Christ. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the Bible teaches that we are to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know, you think about the beginning of the year it has new possibilities. You know, you think about 2015, and that is behind us. But we look at a new year, it's filled, hey, it's a new start, there's new possibilities, the year has endless possibilities. And you think about it, people set resolutions for themselves, you know, but they say most resolutions are not met. And again, I don't want to discourage you if for some reason you've got a resolution, hey, you know what? We'll do whatever we can to support you to follow through your resolution. But you think about so many resolutions get started, and many resolutions don't even make it into February. Because sometimes it's just hard to go from, you know, January 1st. You know what I mean? If over the Christmas holidays you had all the sweets, all the turkey, all everything, slept 15 hours a day, then to go to New Year, I'm going to be disciplined, I'm not going to eat as much, I'm going to be organized, just to have that jump start to kick off the New Year is not very easy, especially if it's been a pattern of our life for quite some time. But what's important though, I do believe when we think about our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, I think it's important that regardless of what year we had in 2015, I do believe it's God's goal each and every year of our life for us to continue to be transformed. For us to continue to be growing, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. For us to live transformed lives, For us to have transformed relationships where our relationships in the body of Christ are different than they are outside the body of Christ. We're also, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have transformed marriages. That our marriages, because of the foundation, we can have relationships that shine in this world. Not because of our witty personalities, but because of the standard. Because we have Jesus as a standard for our life and a standard for our marriage. We can have transformed families. And I do believe that wherever your family's at or has been at, I do believe that you can have a transformed family simply because of Jesus Christ. And again, for us to have a transformed church, we're always growing, learning, being all that God wants us to be. But we're also involved in the community to be involved in helping to transform people's lives. In the same way that we needed to be transformed and continue to be transformed, is the same way that God has given us the responsibility to be involved in helping people in the community to know Jesus so that they too can have transformed lives. You know, it does say here we are not, no longer, to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed, and it says where we begin, the renewing of our mind. To be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, it's so easy to focus so much on behavior modification. But what's important is transformation begins by the renewing of our mind. And as we continue to talk about being transformed, let's go to our Father in prayer and ask for our blessing on our Bible study here today. And I'll continue with some further thoughts as we talk about being transformed. Father, we do thank you so much that God, you've given us your word. That Father, we don't have to wonder or guess how to live our lives. But Father, you've given us your word so that we can be transformed individually and also collectively. And Father, I do pray that as we, Father, study your word here at this time, and as we talk about living transformed lives, that Father, your spirit would really work through me and work in each and every one of our hearts. Father, I know as we've begun the year, Father, I know that many of us are at different stages in our life, different stages even in how we've begun the year. But Father, I pray that regardless of where we're at here today, Father, I pray that we open our minds and our hearts to your word, so that, Father, we can really make decisions, Father, to live transformed lives, so that, Father, you can shape us, so that, Father, you can shape our families, so you can shape the church, and so that, Father, we can be involved in helping to make a difference in our city. Father, please give us strength. Please be with us individually, collectively, so that, Father, all that we do in 2016, Father, we'll bring much glory to you. Father, thank you so much. Again, we ask that you bless our time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the renewing of our mind. You know, where we place our minds is where we place our focus. Where we place our minds is where we place our focus. And where we place our focus is who and what we become. It begins with the renewing of our minds. You know, we have a worldview, a mindset that functions as a life lens. How we see things functions as a life. That's probably something to do with the laptop or something, but we'll do our best to ignore it. If it continues, then we'll do something about it. But to renew our minds. And again, we have a worldview shaped by our temperament, who we are. We have a worldview shaped by the environment that we grew up in. We have a lens that's shaped by our upbringing. maybe the number of people in the family, or whether it be few, whether it be many. But our family parenting styles do shape how we look at the world. We also have a worldview shaped by our life experiences. Whatever experiences that we face in our life, it shapes how we look at different things. And so one of the things we're going to do to renew our minds is we're going to look at what's called a life traps, and I'll explain it more as we begin the series next week. And I'll read what it's about. After 20 years of research, the founder of Schema Therapy, Jeffrey Young, discovered that there are 18 life traps. Life traps, also known as schemas, are deeply entrenched beliefs about ourselves and the world in which we live, that we learn at an early stage in our life, usually before the age of 10. So these are a complex combination of emotions, negative thinking, and memories, which form core beliefs about ourselves, about others, and as disciples, also how we view God. And it is a way that at times we can, again, these different life types, they shape how we view the world. And if there are 18 known life traps, and we may not get a chance to go through all of them, but in all these different, you can have more than one life trap. And then some may affect you very strongly. Some might affect you not as much, but some might have a very weak influence on your life. And the goal is to identify these patterns of thinking so that we can renew our minds through the scriptures. We can renew our minds through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, but also we can renew our minds through relationships that we have in our lives. You know, so this morning, I want you to think about, you know, what is your view of God? You know, what is your, if you want to say, default view of God? Because sometimes we can have a different view about God as to who He really is. Based on how we are raised, we can view God as a God of judgment and condemnation, rather than a God who is present, a God who's there when we need Him. And how do we view ourselves? Because based on our life, all these different things, those things shape how we view ourselves. Sometimes we might view ourselves in a very distorted way. But it's looking at the scriptures, it's renewing our mind as to how does God see us, is what's very important. Also, how do we view the world? Because we can have at times a distorted view about the world. But it's important that we renew our minds. Because as we renew our minds, I do believe true transformation does become. True transformation doesn't just come from just simply behavior modification. It comes from transforming how we look at things, how we look at the world, how we look at self, but also how we look at God. You know, you think about when you're studying the Bible, you think about what your view of God was before you started studying the Bible. And then when you started studying the Bible, looking at the scriptures, you saw God very differently. You came to know God. You came to see God differently than how you perceived Him. That's because our minds were being renewed. Because our mind was shaped by many different things. But our mind needs to continue to be renewed so that we can see God differently, we can see ourselves differently, and we can also see one another differently as well. Secondly, turn to Proverbs chapter 23. The renewing of our minds, but also the renewing of our hearts. You know, there is a direct connection between the mind and the heart. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, don't forget Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. But it's good to say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You know, there is a direct correlation, connection between the heart and the mind. How we think and perceive things brings about so many different emotions inside. So what's important is that not only do we renew our minds, but we also need to renew our hearts. You know, at times our hearts can be filled with pain, can be filled with rage, bitterness, but also at times our hearts can be filled with envy. Because we envy maybe the world, we envy different people. But sometimes we need to transform our mind and our hearts to have, rather than hearts of envy, to have hearts of contentment. Rather, hearts of ingratitude, to have hearts of gratitude because of who we are and what we have. And that's why it's very important that we renew our hearts and as well have hearts that love God with all of our hearts. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transformed by the renewing of our hearts and transformed by our relationships. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 28. So we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Now, what is Paul talking about here today as we read the scripture? Paul talks about that if we are to mature in Christ, that we need people to help us to mature in Christ. We need admonishing, we need teaching, but we need relationships that are helping us to become more and more like Christ. Relationships that help us to be centered when we get off track, to be centered on Christ. You know, whatever you call these relationships, peers, mentors, discipleship partners, the Bible is full of examples as to the importance of having spiritual relationships that help us to grow in our faith and to keep on track. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3, you know, when we don't have these relationships, it is very easy to drift in our faith. And my question to you here this morning is, where are you at in your faith? The other question I'll ask is, where are you at in your relationships? But we need to be having relationships that are spiritual, relationships that help us to mature and become more and more like Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 3 verse 12 it says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." You know, sin is very deceptive. You know, sin is very blinding. It blinds us to thinking that, you know, we're doing much better than we really are. It also can blind us to thinking we're doing worse than we really are. about being deceived is that no one knows they're being deceived. You just don't know when you're being deceived. Or else, therefore, you're not being deceived. So someone does not know that they're being deceived. That's why it's important to have people who can help us when we are being deceived, to help us to see things in terms of reality for what it really is. And it says, see to it, meaning that, hey, you know what? We need to feel a responsibility that none of you has a sinful. That's where it begins. Once sin is left in our hearts, undealt with, it changes how we believe, what we believe. And then it leads to, says, a heart that turns away from God. But we all need, as it says, but encourage one another daily. As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It doesn't matter how long we've been a disciple. You know, this last year, 2015, been a disciple for 25 years. And you know what? We have people who have been disciples for less than a year, like Vicky. And regardless of how many years we've been a disciple in between, we all need relationships who know us and we know them to help each other to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So that we can grow, we can mature, so that we can be more and more like Jesus Christ. You know, my challenge for you here today, you know, I'm not sure where your relationships are at. Now, sometimes I hear, you know, well, I don't have any relationships in the church. I don't gel with this person. I don't gel with that person. You know what? To find someone you gel with and make a commitment to be involved in each other's lives, helping each other to mature, to grow, to be all that we can be in 2016 and the years to come. But we all need people involved in our life, helping us to grow. That is how we transform. You know, we cannot transform on our own. You think about people who are going to the gym. You know, a lot of people who find success are the ones who get a trainer. They get someone to hold them accountable. And then they see the results that happen as they go to the gym. You think about whether it be sports. You think about in the corporate world, where people have people that they're learning from to help them to be able to grow in their career, to grow in their faith. And as disciples, we need that to be able to grow in our faith, for our families to be transformed, our individual faith to be transformed, that we need to surround ourselves with those kinds of people who are going to help us to mature and grow in our faith. And last but not least, we need to be involved in helping to transform people. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people whose lives were transformed. Whether God called them, people shared the good news with them, that people's lives were transformed. And you think about how God took people from under Satan's control and transformed their lives. You know, you think about whether it be Matthew, the tax collector, Peter, Paul, went from persecutor to preacher, Mary, Thomas, Lydia, the eunuch, people in Acts chapter 2, the jailer, the list goes on. That when people came in contact with the good news, their lives were transformed when they were receptive to it. And I do believe as a church, I do believe individually, there is so much more that we can do as disciples of Jesus Christ. That we can have a much greater impact as a church individually, as disciples of Jesus Christ. And that while it was great to be able to see our sister Vicky get baptized? Amen to that. But I do believe we need to have greater expectations of ourselves. Say, hey, you know what? We're going to be involved in helping to transform lives in the community. And we've arranged where family groups, even as a church, where we don't have so many activities as a church, but more so as family groups, so that we can take the gospel into the communities. You know, someone asked me about family groups and why more family groups rather meet together. Well, it's one, because it's something that's happening through our fellowship, because it's taking the gospel to the community, taking church to the community, rather than people making a trek to come to Sandy Hill Community Center. Us meeting in family groups has nothing to do with making things easier for the disciples. You know, so this is about, well, you know what? Let's make things easy for the disciples so they only have to travel 5 minutes away, maybe go to a community, a family group, a community nearby. It is about bringing church to the city of Ottawa, into the community, so that the gospel can be spread and continue to spread throughout the city, so that people can see the church, a part of the church, in their community. And so I would encourage you, when you meet with your family group, to be thinking about, hey, how to be involved in reaching your community. To be thinking individually, how to be involved in reaching the community, so that we can see more people added to the family of God in 2016. And I do believe that this year can be a year of being transformed for you. It could be a year of being transformed for myself, and a year of being transformed for the church. I do believe, as we will talk more about next week, and I do believe what needs to happen, we need to think about things very differently. We need to have our minds renewed. We also need to renew our hearts. Renew our hearts for God. Renew our hearts for one another. Renew our hearts for many different things. And also we need to have relationships that help us to be accountable, to keep us centered, to keep us on track, so that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. But also we need to be involved in the ministry of transformation. You know, God didn't just leave us here so that we can be a church, so that we can, you know, support one another. I believe God's plan is so much more beyond the church. It is about the church being involved in a community and making a difference in people's lives. And I pray too that we as a church will be involved in transforming not just ourselves, but the lives of the city in Ottawa. So I do look forward to seeing what God has planned. I do believe God has some many great things in store for the church in 2016. And so let's pray that God brings much glory to Him through using each and every one of us individually, but also as a church to His glory. Amen.